Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the Qalb Institute podcast, Companions of the Quran. This Ramadan, Qalb is committed to provide education and programs to all aspects of our local community as well as across the world. To help in this effort and invest in your Sadqa Jariyah, visit supportqalb.com and help us expand our efforts. Jazakallah khair and thank you for your continued support. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأزكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. One of the recommendations of the ulama is to establish a strong daily wird. Every day you dedicate some time to remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Strong meaning that it's balanced, it's all-encompassing, that when you sit down to do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you dedicate some time to doing istighfar. You dedicate some time to saying subhanallah, some time to alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dedicating time to making dua to Allah in your own words, reflecting a little on the Quranic ad'iyah and prayers, then turning to the prophetic du'as and prayers. This gives you a nice balanced wird and a routine. So every day you come back to it. Every morning, every evening. Every morning, every evening. When we turn to the wird of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the du'as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read, there were certain du'as that he would read every morning, and then there were du'as that he would read every evening. And then there were du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do after salah, and then du'as throughout the day. But when you pay attention to the morning and evening routine of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find deep embedded within those awrad was the tilawah of the Qur'an. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates the famous riwayah, which is referred to by the muhaddithun as the narration of Baytuta to Ibn Abbas in the khalatihi Maymuna radiallahu anha. This is an epic narration that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu spent the night at his khala's house, his mother's sister's home. He came to his khala one day and he said to her, I'd like to spend the night at your house. Bear in mind, during this request and this entire conversation, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was no older than 12 or 13 years old. Most likely even a few years younger than that. He approaches his khala and says, I'd like to spend the night at your house. She says, I would love to host you, but tonight is the night that the Prophet of Allah will be spending the night at my house. She was the Prophet's wife, Maymuna radiallahu anha. He says, yeah, that's exactly why I wanted to spend the night at your house. So she said, let me seek permission from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was happy. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu has this unique opportunity to have a sleepover with the Prophet of Allah. One of the benefits of being from the family. So he describes the moment that when they entered into the room, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam engaged in some light conversation with his family members. And then when it came time to go to sleep, it was a small house, one room, so they all slept in one room. And they all slept in the same area, and they actually shared one pillow. It was a long pillow. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wife, they put their heads on the width of the pillow, while Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu put his head on the length of the pillow. So their bodies were in different directions, but they were all facing one. He knew the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would check if he was sleeping, so he said, I closed my eyes and I just... You know how kids do that? They act like they're sleeping. So he put himself to sleep like this, but he wasn't really sleeping. He narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he drifted off, his breathing became very heavy. Then he observed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he went to sleep and how long he slept for. Then he narrates the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam waking up. He was waiting for hours to witness what was next. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke up and he took the inner part of his palms and rubbed his eyes. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the first things that he said إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب. And he recited these verses. Therefore, the ulama recommend that if a person wakes up in the middle of the night, one beautiful set of verses to recite are these verses. He's sharing, and it's a long narration, by the way. It's such a fascinating story. He was worried the Prophet would put him back to sleep if the Prophet knew he was awake. So he remained lying down, acting as if he was sleeping until the Prophet started his salah. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allahu Akbar, now he knew he could do whatever he wanted to. The Prophet wouldn't stop him. So he got up and quickly did his wudu and joined in tahajjud and stood on the wrong side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam took his hand and reached all the way around from behind him and pulled him around. Therefore, we have this idea in our deen that if someone's standing on the left side of the imam will bring them over to the right side. This is from this riwayah of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Likewise, Jabir radiallahu anhu narrates in another hadith that was regarding the morning of the Prophet of Allah. Now let's turn to the night. Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu says, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان لا ينام حتى يقرأ ألف لام ميم تنزيل وتبارك الذي بيده الملك رواه الترمذي. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would not sleep at night until he read Surah Alif Lam Mim As-Sajda and Surah Al-Mulk. And then throughout the day, there were so many other recitations of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and his tahajjud was known, it was epic, his prayer, his salah, lengthy recitation, all the nawafil. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam revising the Quran with Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam and sharing it and teaching it to the companions. It was built into his day. My beloved teacher and mentor, Allah irhamu, Sheikh Yusuf rahimahullahu ta'ala, he would say to us that when a person does their wird, when they make a habit of doing dhikr every day, they give strength to their spirituality. They're watering their ruh. By doing dhikr of Allah, you come into life. It's so important. It's so important. When shaitan wants to disarm you and harm you and attack you, what he does is he takes you away from the dhikr of Allah. استحوذ عليهم الشيطان فأنساهم ذكر الله. That's how he disarms you. You know, you have a weapon in your hand, there's a guy in front of you and he wants to attack you, he has to get the weapon out of your hand. If there is a nation that wants to oppress its people, the first thing that it needs to do is make them look barbaric. Make those people look like they're the terrorists, that they're the horrible people. So when they attack, now they've disarmed them from any positive public opinion. So when shaitan wants to attack you, all he needs to do is put you in a state of ghafla and remove dhikr from you. Establishing a strong wird is very important. Sheikh Yusuf rahimahullah would say to us, the spirituality that is developed through your general adhkar is like a house made of straw. It's good. You can live there, you can stay there. People lived in huts throughout history. But with a little bit of bad weather, with a little bit of turbulence, that house comes down. On the other hand, spirituality that is developed through building an effective and meaningful, strong relationship with the Quran is like a house made of brick and stone. It's strong. It's firm. Many people who just engaged in dhikr were fooled by shaitan. They were dragged in one way or another down a wrong path. But people of the Quran and Sunnah, shaitan runs from them. Establish your relationship with the Quran. Build it strong, build it firm. This is the month of the Quran. Connect with the Quran. The more time you spend with it, the better for you. Today we're going to conclude with a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's a hadith Qudsi narrated by Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. يقول رب عز وجل, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, من شغله القرآن عن ذكري ومسألتي أعطيته أفضل ما أعطي السائلين. Whoever is preoccupied with the Quran from my remembrance and from asking me, I shall grant him better than what I grant to those that are asking me. Whoever is preoccupied with the Quran from my remembrance and from asking me, I will give the one that's reciting Quran better than the ones that are actually asking me. Whoever is preoccupied with my Quran. You're not sure what dua to make. You're not sure what to say. You're not sure what's going to get you to Jannah. You're not sure if your words are enough. It's okay. Just open the Quran. Pour your heart into it. Be sincere. Take honor in knowing that in these few brief moments, your tongue will utter the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ شَغَلَهُ الْقُرْآنُ عَنْ ذِكْرِي وَمَسْأَلَتِي أَعْطَيْتُهُ أَفْضَلَ مَا أُعْتِ السَّائِلِينَ وَفَضْلُ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ عَلَى سَائِلِ الْكَلَامِ كَفَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ. And the virtue and superiority of the speech of Allah over all speech is like the virtue of Allah over His creation. The mind can't even begin to understand what it means to be a companion of the Qur'an. So tonight may be Laylatul Qadr, the 21st night of Ramadan. From our hearts we ask Allah, Ya Allah, make us from the companions of the Qur'an. Make us from the true companions of the Qur'an. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.